WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Can you believe that this is the very first Current Sports of the new year? That's right. Happy New Year. I hope you guys had a fantastic holiday. I'm certainly glad to be back in this chair. The break was far too long. I tell you what, we got a ton to talk about on today's show, okay? Yesterday, what a bowl day it was. A fantastic Rose Bowl, the 103rd Rose Bowl out in California. Arguably the most entertaining Rose Bowl of all time. No defense, a lot of offense. That's what you fans like, right? We'll recap what took place in the Rose Bowl. We'll also talk about breaking news concerning now former offensive coordinator for the Alabama Crimson Tide football team. That's right, Lane Kiffin let go a week before the Natty Championship game against Clemson next week. Can you believe that? Yeah, you'll get to hear my brief thoughts on that, and we will talk about yesterday's Cotton Bowl as, that's right, rowed a boat. Western Michigan took on Wisconsin. Now the Broncos may have suffered its first loss of the entire year, but just to get to Arlington, Texas to play at AT&T Stadium, truly an accomplishment in itself, all right? So we will invite to the show Corey Olson, Western Michigan writer and photographer for MLive.com. He covered that Cotton Bowl game, and Corey will give you his thoughts on what took place and what led to the Broncos falling to the Wisconsin Badgers. And later on in the show, we will talk about the Detroit Lions, who, yes, have made the playoffs, but they do so limping in, not with a roar at all, all right? But hey, all of that and more, you know how we start this party. Here are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. All right, and we start with Western Michigan University. Western Michigan's bid for an undefeated season came up just short in a 24-16 loss to Wisconsin on Monday in the Cotton Bowl at AT&T Stadium out in Arlington, Texas. Zach Terrell, 16 of 28, 157 yards, a touchdown, and an INT for the Broncos, who went 13-1 on the year. Jamari Bogan ran 16 times for 58 yards, while Corey Davis had 6 catches for 73 yards and a score. Later this hour, as I mentioned, we will invite MLive beat reporter for the Western Michigan football team, Corey Olson, to the show. He was in the house for that matchup and will have a complete recap. In a thrilling Rose Bowl matchup between USC and Penn State, the Trojans put together a remarkable fourth quarter comeback, topping the Nittany Lions 52-49. It was the highest scoring Rose Bowl game of all time. Oklahoma won the Sugar Bowl on Monday night against Auburn, 35-19, the final of that contest. The Sooners had just a 14-13 lead at the half, though, but then dominated in the second and cruised to a dub. The Sooners outgained the Tigers by a 524-339-yard margin, and it became a real blowout by the end. And this was news that shook the college football world early in the morning yesterday. Lane Kiffin will not be coaching the Alabama offense when the Crimson Tide will take on Clemson in the college football playoff national championship on January 9th. Kiffin has already accepted the head coaching job at Florida Atlantic University, but he was expected to continue at Alabama through the end of the season. Alabama head coach Nick Saban said Steve Sarkisian, who had already been named Kiffin's successor, will be in charge of Alabama's game plan for the championship game. Kiffin had been late to several events in the past week leading up to Alabama's 24-7 college football semifinal win against Washington in the Peach Bowl, including meetings and media day. leading some Alabama staff members to say they were, quote-unquote, done with him. Those are what sources told ESPN's Brett Murphy, at least. More on that story in just a moment. Shane Morris, the former four-star recruit out of Warren De La Salle, announced that he will leave the University of Michigan and spend his fifth year at another school. He announced that news in a Twitter message yesterday. As a grad transfer, Morris can go to another school and play right away. As a freshman in 2013, Morris arrived and was expected to redshirt behind starter Devin Gardner at the time, but was forced to start the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl when Gardner was injured after having barely played all year. U of M went on to lose that game 31-14 to Kansas State. Good news concerning Michigan State women's basketball head coach Susie Merchant, who fainted on the sidelines during Sunday afternoon's game. Susie has been released from the hospital after spending the night undergoing precautionary testing. Now, Merchant is resting at home right now following the completion of testing at Sparrow Hospital, and that is according to a release from MSU yesterday. The incident happened in the fourth quarter of the Spartans' 71-47 victory over Illinois. Merchant was assisted to the locker room for evaluation before being transported to Sparrow. There is no timetable for her return as the Spartans hit the road to take on Purdue tomorrow night. Good news concerning two Michigan State hoop freshies, starting with Michigan State redshirt freshman forward Victoria Gaines, who has been named Big Ten Women's Basketball Freshie of the Week, as announced by the conference office on Monday. Gaines earned her first career double-double in the Spartans' win against Illinois on January 1st. The forward is the first Spartan to earn Big Ten Freshman of the Week honor since Tori Jankowska on February 25th of 2014. Spartan great Ariel Powers also earned Freshman of the Week four times during the 2013-14 year. And Michigan State freshman forward Nick Ward has been named Big Ten Freshie of the Week as well for his consecutive week and third time this year, as announced by the Big Ten Conference yesterday. Ward averaged a little over 16 points, 9 rebounds, and 3 blocks last week, shooting 61% from the field and leading the Spartans to a 2-0 start in Big Ten play. And also news concerning another freshman stud for the Michigan State men's basketball team, that being Miles Bridges, who is finally practicing again and is expected to come off the bench tomorrow when the Spartans play host to Rutgers. It's been a 7-game absence for Bridges, who has not played since late November in a loss to Duke due to a high left ankle sprain. And last but not least, the Detroit Pistons have lost 7 of their last 8 games, but are coming off a road win over the depleted Miami Heat. They will look to build off of that dub as they welcome the Indiana Pacers to the Palace of Auburn Hills tonight. The Pacers are feeling better about themselves as well, winning their last 2 games after a 4-game skid. Indiana will be making its second trip to Michigan in less than 3 weeks. Paul George scored 26 points in a 105-90 Pacers victory over the Pistons on December 17th. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and be a part of our airwaves on, again, this very first live edition of Current Sports of the 2017 year, you know how to do so. Just simply pick up that phone and dial 517-355-WKAR. That's 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports or even tweet us at AlMartinWKAR or at WKAR_sports. So much to get to, so little time. Let's start the show.
With Agumba Wale, and he gets the edge again. A freeway to the pylon. Is he in? Just short. Agumba Wale. That's a Wisconsin touchdown. Their second rushing touchdown to start the game. Terrell looks the other way instead. Extends the play. Now on his horse, hoisted into the end zone. Is it caught? Touchdown, Corey Davis!
Another downfield shot, Godwin! And it is intercepted this time by McQuay. Down the sidelines and knocked out! With 27 seconds to go, the Trojans can win it in regulation. Is it overtime? Or does Matt Bormeister win it for the Trojans in the Rose Bowl Classic right here? It's good! USC wins it!
This was a reflection of sitting there and going over the things, and I'm not sure. You know, I don't know. I know this was a decision that I came up with and was very difficult to do. This was not something that Nick Saban forced me to do by any means.
Ah, yes, that is how we start this afternoon's Current Sports. Happy, happy 2017. It feels so good to be back. Welcome to Current Sports here on WKAR AM 870. I am your host, Al Martin. We haven't been on the air in 2 weeks. Feels so good to be back. And I tell you what, I really hope that you all had a fantastic Christmas. Hope you guys had a great New Year's. Fun for me, I got to go back to Detroit, born and bred on the west side. Got to see all of my folks, grandma, aunties, unks, cousins. Great time. Then I hit Chicago, actually, for New Year's. And then I was ready to get back to work. I'm like, okay, this break has been far too long. Especially when you look at all of the bowl games that took place. 40-plus bowl games. I don't know if you guys are with me on this, but 40-plus bowl games? That's too much. That's college football overload. Unless you are like a die-hard college football fan, that's just entirely too much. Most of those bowl games really don't mean anything. I mean, glorified exhibition games that are designed to draw more fandom to the world of college football, more fandom to the sport, to try and draw in more money, more eyeballs. But in fact, you know, it goes back to the old saying, you know, too much of a good thing can be bad for you. In 40 bowl games, I must know. I want to pose this question to our listeners out there, because I know a lot of our listeners out there are, granted, college football fanatics. And I am myself. I love college football. Nothing like it. But that was a bit excessive, for sure. I want to know, though, all our listeners out there, how many bowl games did you legitimately sit down and watch from end to end? Again, you know the number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527, because I'm going to tell you right now, from end to end, I pretty much watched the college football semis, which were a bit ho-hum, and I started falling asleep, actually, halfway through the Ohio State and Clemson game, because that was not even competitive at all. And you talk about the Big Ten. This just was ugly for the Big Ten. Just an awful showing. An awful showing when it comes to bowl championship games for the Big Ten. When it comes down to the conference actually finished 3-7 in the bowl season. The worst of the Power Five conferences this season. And all of the hype surrounded around, you know, teams like Ohio State, teams like U of M, heck, even Penn State. I mean, I could go on and on and on here. And the Big Ten Conference goes 3-7? That can't happen. I'm a bit puzzled. I must say. But you guys saw Alabama and Washington and then turned on the whole Clemson and Ohio State debacle. I mean, just not entertaining. It just wasn't entertaining for me. Not at all. And in fact, you can make an argument that what we saw yesterday with the Cotton Bowl, with the Rose Bowl, not so much with the Sugar Bowl. That was pretty ho-hum, to say the least. I fell asleep on that one, too. But, you know, the Rose Bowl was definitely entertaining. You know, I call it the no offense bowl. I mean, the no defense bowl, excuse me, because there were just no defense. Plenty of offense in that game, but no defense. Again, as I mentioned in the Quicken headliners, the highest scoring Rose Bowl game in its 103-year history. My goodness. I mean, we're talking about a 52-49 final in favor of USC. Entertaining to watch as a fan because it's a lot of offense, but not a lot of defense. In just a moment, we're going to talk about the Cotton Bowl because I thought that was pretty entertaining as well. 24-16 loss for the Western Michigan Broncos at the hands of a Big Ten team, one of the three wins out of the bowl season in Wisconsin, defeating the Western Michigan Broncos. The boat came to a halt. We all know the fame motto for the Broncos, rode the boat. Entertaining game, especially when you look at that late game touchdown from Corey Davis, which made it very interesting. But then what does the kicker do? He goes up and misses the extra point, right? So Western ideally has to go for the onside kick. Wisconsin gets it. Game pretty much kaput, right? But entertaining to say the least. But there's something wrong when the college football semifinals that decided the two teams that will be playing for the national championship in less than a week from now, when those two games were not as entertaining as some of the New Year's Six bowl games in the Rose Bowl, in the Cotton Bowl. I mean, there's something wrong with college football there. Far too many bowl games. And again, you guys know my gripe with college football and putting the semifinal games on New Year's Eve. Come on. Especially if they're blowouts. You're not letting college football dictate your New Year's plans, folks. I'm sure many of you out there were probably, especially when you saw the scores of those games as they went on. Many of you out there probably just ignored those games and proceeded to turn up with your respective family and friends when it came to your New Year's Eve plans. You didn't make that a priority, I am sure. And thank goodness they're going to change that as the years move on with the college football playoff. But gosh, there's something wrong there. There truly is. So as I mentioned, you want to stick around because at 1:30, we are going to invite Corey Olson to the show for the first time here on Current Sports. He is a Western Michigan writer and photographer for MLive.com who was in his house at Jerry World to witness the Western Michigan loss at the hands of the Wisconsin Badgers. A great year, though, for Fleck and his troops. Row the boat, folks. No matter what took place yesterday, this was an incredible year for the Broncos. Corey Olson is going to join us to talk about that. But there's also a bit of news that probably even dominated the headlines even more so than the games you saw on your television yesterday. News concerning now former Alabama offensive coordinator, Mr. Lane Kiffin. Lane Kiffin, and you heard a brief snippet in our intro just a minute ago. Lane Kiffin deciding to leave the program early to focus on his now head coaching duties at Florida Atlantic. A week before the Alabama Crimson Tide take on the Clemson Tigers for the national championship, a rematch of last year's Natty Championship out in Tampa Bay. A week before, just 7 days before the biggest game of the season for the Crimson Tide, Lane Kiffin, done, kaput, out. I'm like you, folks. A lot of people out there scratching their heads when it comes to that move. I couldn't believe it. I had to do a double take when I woke up and saw my sports app bring me that news. And it's funny because, you know, I wanted to hear, like many of you out there, I wanted to hear what Lane had to say concerning the situation as to why he decided to remove himself, quote unquote, remove himself from the situation and allow Sark, that's right, Steve Sarkisian, to come in and assume his role as offensive coordinator for the Crimson Tide earlier. And, yeah, Sark will be calling the offensive plays in the national championship game for Nick Saban and the Crimson Tide. How crazy is that, right? We've never seen a story like this. And there are many media members that are pointing to actually Kiffin being late to meetings, being late to media day, and after media day, when the team was to board the team bus to head out and continue preparation, it was reported that Kiffin was late for that as well. And an additional car had to come up and pick him up individually and bring him to wherever they were going. But, you know, this is a crazy situation because, you know, I posed this question. And I posed two questions actually to you. Who is to blame for this? I mean, because, again, I'm not buying into Lane Kiffin coming out there and saying, you know what, this was on me. I decided to remove myself from the situation because trying to juggle my head coaching duties at Florida Atlantic, at FAU, as well as trying to prepare for the national championship game was a bit too much for me. So I, Lane Kiffin, decided to remove myself from the situation. That is what Kiffin stated to Paul Feinbaum on his radio show yesterday, and it's what he also reiterated on Mike and Mike in the Morning today. I listened to the entire interview, you know, and they pressed him. They pressed him on it, you know, and Kiffin said, you know what? No, this was my decision. This wasn't on Nick. You know, I said, Nick, you know what? This is becoming a bit too much for me. Put Sark in there. Let him do the job. I got this, FAU is on my mind. That is what, that's the storyline that Lane Kiffin gave to media members since this news broke yesterday morning. Now, come on, folks. I'm not buying it, and I know you aren't either. I know most of you aren't. There may be a few out there that's saying, yeah, I may agree with Lane. Okay, maybe you did. Who knows, right? But come on. A week before, 7 days before the national championship game? No, I'm not buying that. Mm-mm-mm. And, you know, there's been rumors floating throughout this year about the relationship between Kiffin and Nick Saban. There's been rumors that that relationship isn't the best, hasn't been the best. So the question was posed this morning to Lane Kiffin, whether or not, you know, with the whole situation concerning the rumor mill, I should say. That's what I'm going to call it, the rumor mill. The rumors about Kiffin and Saban not getting along. You know, whether or not, you know, you guys did not get to the, let's just say you guys didn't get to the national championship this year. Would you still be with the squad? You know, if Florida Atlantic wasn't waiting on you? And Kiffin said, yeah, you know, and our relationship is not strained at all. You know, Nick Saban and I have a great relationship. I don't buy that one bit. One bit. But you know who the real victim is in this whole situation that I think, frankly, hasn't been talked about enough? The real victim here, and I think this has the potential to bite Alabama in the back. This really hurts Jalen Hurts, right? No pun intended there. This really does affect Jalen Hurts, the true freshman quarterback who has been lights out pretty much all year for the Crimson Tide, who won out in that quarterback battle. I love watching Jalen play, but he's a true freshman who was actually recruited by Lane Kiffin. So they have a relationship. You know, they have a bond that goes back to the living room of Jalen Hurts. Kiffin was the main recruiter for Hurts. And what I think gets lost in the mix here is how will this affect Jalen Hurts on the game's biggest stage come January 9th. Because these are two guys that have chemistry. They've built that chemistry throughout this entire year. Kiffin is a guy who can read the emotions because we all know, I mean, football just isn't an X's and O's game. It's an emotional game. Kiffin knows how to read the emotions of Jalen Hurts, especially with Hurts being so young. He is a true freshman. He knows when Jalen is confused. He knows when Jalen is a bit troubled throughout a game. He knows when to ease Jalen into the game and when to turn up the heat a little bit. Sark doesn't have that relationship. So now you bring in Steve Sarkisian, who, by the way, hasn't called a play in the world of football in over a year. You throw Sark into this situation where he does not have some kind of rapport with the true freshman in Jalen Hurts. This could have the potential to be bad. I'm not going to say it is because this is Alabama at the end of the day. I mean, Alabama, it's Alabama and then everybody else in the college football world. And let's be real here. That Alabama defense, I mean, don't turn over the ball. You know, just don't turn over the ball. The defense is going to get the job done against a very good Clemson team. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I love that Clemson team. And how about, you know, Deshaun? I mean, he's had a great year, but it's still Alabama. This could, though, if that defense, by some stretch of the imagination, gives up a few points here and there and that offense has to answer, if Jalen Hurts isn't comfortable with Steve Sarkisian, this could be bad. I'm not saying it is. I'm just trying to look at the entire spectrum here. But as far as the whole storyline of Lane Kiffin deciding to remove himself from the situation a week before the national championship game, this was a Nick Saban move. Make no ifs, ands, or buts about it. The question is, was it the right one? Because if Alabama goes out and wins, this becomes a non-story. But if Alabama struggles and they fall to Clemson, this could be really, really bad. That's all I'm saying, yo. What do you think? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We are taking your calls. We are reading your comments as we customarily do throughout this entire hour here on Current Sports, all the way up until 2 p.m. I also, before we hit our first break, we're going to talk some Western Michigan football in a second here. Again, we are going to invite to the show Corey Olson, Western Michigan writer and photographer for MLive.com. He was out in Texas to cover the Western Michigan loss at the hands of the Wisconsin Badgers. You don't want to miss that, but I briefly want to send out some positive words to Susie Merchant. You know, and I was back in Detroit when I saw the news concerning Merchant fainting on the sidelines during Sunday afternoon's game. Just a really scary scene. I saw some of the local broadcast that caught that moment. And it was just to see Susie on the ground and really just kind of out of it. And you saw the team sort of huddle around her on the hardwood. I mean, and it just kind of gives you, and I don't know what the diagnosis was here and as to why. I'm sure whenever Susie makes that return, she will let us know what occurred with her health that afternoon at the Breslin. But the immediate thought that came to my mind, and I couldn't help but bring this up, was just the stresses that Division I coaches go through. I mean, when you're constantly on the road recruiting, when you're not prepping for a game, you're constantly practicing, you're constantly looking at film. I mean, goodness, I don't know how coaches do it sometimes. You know, and again, we are releasing little by little, you know, every single week, every Friday via social media at our Facebook.com/currentsports page. We are releasing little by little my sit down that I had with MSU men's head basketball coach Tom Izzo. And I kind of picked the brain of Izzo about the stresses of the job, you know. Constantly on the road, constantly recruiting, constantly dealing with the pressure of trying to build a consistent winning program that can weigh on anyone's shoulders. And I just wonder whether or not it's getting to Susie at this point in her career. I'm wishing her well. Again, a report came out yesterday that alludes to Merchant resting at home following the completion of testing at Sparrow Hospital here locally. So, Susie, it's good to hear that you are getting better. Take as much time off as possible. And I'm pretty sure, you know, she's so competitive. She's probably watching film as she is in the bed at home right now. All right? So, I just wanted to extend some positive words to Susie Merchant and the entire MSU women's basketball program. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll invite to the first time, for the first time on the show, Corey Olson, Western Michigan writer and photographer for MLive.com. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports.
I'm telling you why Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list and checking it twice. He's going to find out who's naughty and nice.
On the Next to the Point, in 3 weeks, the Obama years are over, but not the debate about his presidency.
By so many measures, our country's stronger and more prosperous than it was when we started. It's a situation that I'm proud to leave for my successor.
We'll look at what Obama leaves behind, from the state of the U.S. economy to health care to the environment. That's next time on To the Point from Public Radio International.
To the Point, this afternoon at 2 on AM 870 WKAR.
Join Jody Knoll for beautiful classical music weekdays starting at 9 on 90.5 WKAR. Today, look for a high of 41 degrees. It'll be cloudy and we could get some rain. Overnight, windy, cloudy, a chance of snow and a low of 21. Windy and becoming mostly cloudy Wednesday with a high of 24.
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. The very first Current Sports of the new year. Happy, happy 2017. Really hope you guys had a fantastic one with your family and friends. Our phone lines are open, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Right now, we're going to get to our guest for today's Current Sports. During the first segment, we sort of gave a bit of a brief synopsis of what took place out in Arlington, Texas at AT&T Stadium, home of the Dallas Cowboys. As the Cotton Bowl took place, Western Michigan falling in a competitive matchup against the Big Ten's own Wisconsin Badgers. Right now, we invite to the first time here on our show, Corey Olson, Western Michigan writer and photographer for MLive.com. Corey, first off, my man, thanks so much for your time this afternoon. How is the travel back coming along?
Happy to be here, Al. Fellow MLive reporter Scott DeCamp and I just landed a half an hour ago in Grand Rapids and making our way home now. So still en route.
Fantastic. We wish you guys well as you return home. Now, first off, Corey, before we dive into the X's and O's of what took place yesterday afternoon, I just want you to kind of, because you guys were out there, I just want you to get to kind of give a brief synopsis of the atmosphere leading up to this game, because what a year it was for Western Michigan. I saw a few stories out there of the team in complete awe of the buses and the hotels, just the entire hoopla that comes with making a bowl game such as the Cotton Bowl. What was that experience like for that program and for just the city of Kalamazoo?
Yeah, you know, it's a pretty exciting week to be out there. I've never covered the Cotton Bowl before, but I've covered other, similar type football and other programs, competitions. And I tell you what, first class all the way. Obviously we saw the media side of it quite a bit, but the players were treated well, the media was treated well, the fans were treated well. It has a buzz, in the city of Dallas and Arlington about just how they put on the show. They had a huge media, they call it a big play luncheon on Sunday, and there were 1,500 people there, both teams, the whole squad of both teams sitting there at lunch, and they give out awards and talk a little bit and talk about the history of the Cotton Bowl and everything. It's just really first-class organization down there.
Without a doubt, and I got a chance to actually head out there last year when Michigan State actually made, of course, the college football playoff semis, and it's hard to believe that that was just a year ago where Michigan State was on that mountaintop. They got blown out against, of course, Alabama. Right, exactly, right? And, you know, it, what really got me was, of course, you know, first off, just how organized the bowl is and how professional they are and just the little trinkets that come with making a bowl like that. I mean, what was it like for you? Was that your first time at Jerry World?
Yes, that was the first time I'd ever been to Jerry's World. And what was fun is that the first time we were there, we got escorted right out onto the field to take some pictures during Western Michigan practice on Wednesday when we got there. Mm-hmm. And so you get off the plane and you walk in and here you feel dwarfed in this mega, you know, stadium that, it's just huge, you know. I mean, I think Ford Field has fit inside this place. I mean, it's really, really large.
Yeah, to say the least, right? Now, despite the outcome, Corey, again, a remarkable year for Western. I mean, they go undefeated. They get this Cotton Bowl bid. And, you know, a lot of Western fans, and I said this when I was sitting back watching the game yesterday on my couch. I mean, a lot of Western fans have to be pleased with how this year panned out. Do you feel like most fans are satisfied with getting there despite falling to the Badgers?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, everybody was bummed. Sure. I mean, how could you not be? You know, you've seen your team win, you know, 13 games and lost none this season. It makes such a change from that 1-11 season 3 years ago. For sure, they're going to be bummed. And I think there was a pretty big gap after the first quarter when Wisconsin went up 14-0 because Western Michigan hadn't trailed by 14 all season. So, you know, definitely it was a bit of a shocker from that standpoint. After the game, you know, the players were pretty distraught. They thought they could do it. The fans switched pretty quickly from being distraught to really positive, and that was nice to see. You know, even hopping on the car rental shuttle over to the airport this morning, there were a few Western Michigan fans talking about, man, what a year. You know, this doesn't distract at all from the year we've had, and what an opportunity to be in a New York Six Bowl. So that's like the next step of the program, and then worry about, you know, winning again. So, yeah, just good to see that they're keeping things in perspective.
For sure. You know, there was a moment where P.J. Fleck actually gathered his entire team in the final moments of that game. I'm not sure. I didn't get a chance to see the post-game presser. Did P.J. Fleck address what he told his team in those final ticks?
Yeah, he did. He brought the team together, and, you know, when it was obvious that they were going to lose and didn't have a shot at coming back there towards the end, he told us that he used that as a teaching moment. He was teaching some of these kids how to lose. And he said, yes, it was emotional. Yes, it was tough to do. But what an opportunity to, especially for some of the freshmen. You know, you look at Butch Hampton, their kicker. He's never lost with Western, you know. And so mm-hmm. he didn't go through that 1-11 season or the 2-8-5 season. So he's never lost with that team. So he had, you know, Coach Fleck had the opportunity and the obligation, really, to work with some of those kids, those younger kids, and teach them how to lose at the collegiate Division I level with grace, with style, and also keeping in tune with the focus of their program and what they stand for.
Yeah, a bit different for a lot of those guys, right?
Now, oh, yeah, I mean.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead, Corey.
Yeah, just for, you know, you look at Corey Davis and Zach Terrell and some of those guys, and it's a huge change from where they've been and where they've come. And so, you know, definitely Zach and Corey were down in the dumps about the loss for sure. But, I think they, you know, pretty quickly will get over this and realize, you know, the run that they've had.
Corey, how competitive did you think WMU would be heading into this game against Wisconsin? Were you shocked at all about the outcome?
No, I wasn't shocked about it, but I actually picked them to win. I saw in Wisconsin's game against Penn State, I saw a lot of problems in their secondary in the second half. Mm-hmm. And I thought that that Western would really try to capitalize on or test that issue early on in the game. They didn't really do that. They, I think they played it a little bit safe in the first half, with running some of those quick screens and hook routes and things. And then they did start establishing a run game, which was great to see as well. But you know, I don't think there was many shots downfield for Corey Davis, Zach Terrell to really show what they have like that. Also, fellow receivers Carrington Thompson and Michael Henry, they all got involved, but I don't think that that they really played aggressive enough in the first half, especially not in the first quarter, to go in there and beat Wisconsin. I had thought about it before the game and said to our readers, look, they need to come out strong. They need to come out fast. If they can score 14 to 21 points in the first half, they're going to take Wisconsin no problem because Wisconsin's a running team. Now, they showed some throwing prowess, for sure, but they don't have that down-the-field ability. You know, they're tight end for all the, amazing plays that he made. He's not a sprint down the field 40 yards, a turnaround, catch a pass kind of guy. He's not a fly rough kind of guy. You know? So, I was kind of disappointed to see that they didn't test the Wisconsin secondary early in the game to see what they could have come up with.
Folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Corey Olson, Western Michigan writer and photographer for MLive.com. And, yeah, you know, when you look at the stats here, Corey, and that was kind of a segue to my next question here. When you look at Corey Davis, I mean, 6 receptions, 73 yards. You saw the late-game touchdown that he had, which was just a redonkulous catch where he fights off the defenders. It's kind of just kind of a jump ball moment there. What allowed Western to sort of keep him relatively contained throughout much of that game? That defense was pretty impressive.
Oh, yeah, for sure. The defense was very impressive. One thing I thought, though, is while they're trying to establish both the run and the pass game, I think that Wisconsin was able to really kind of keep one guy on Corey but keep another guy pretty close to him. That could break off from the normal backfield or secondary and kind of aid up on him if Zach started to look his way. And so that probably played a role in that, for sure. But I think maybe that the play calling kind of went another way. You know, I mean, they did have, some looks at Carrington Thompson and Michael Henry that, you know, passes that were dropped or just kind of flew through their hands. I think one of them was a touchdown pass. Matter of fact, but it's so tough with a guy like Corey because he's so good. How is the defense going to handle him if they send him out there one on one and that's it? Well, you pick him off, all day long. But Wisconsin's a smart team. You know, they've got some smart coordinators, and I think they played him about as well as they could. They contained as much as they could on him.
I have to know, Corey, because from the outside looking in, it looked like a complete treat to cover this squad this year. And we saw, first, this team going undefeated and going to the Cotton Bowl. We saw ESPN's College Game Day go down there on a very snowy Saturday morning, right?
Yeah.
And, we saw just a lot of cool moments. I saw the feature on P.J. Fleck where the cameras followed him during his one of his normal, I should say game prep routines on one of the days throughout the week. Just a really cool team with a lot of energy surrounded around it. P.J. Fleck, he's such an energetic coach. What was it like covering this team this year?
Yeah, it's really crazy to cover a team that doesn't lose. And it's not like as journalists, as sports journalists, we're looking for something negative to write about or we're looking to pick apart a piece of the program. But at some point, you need to dissect some of the wins and losses and things. And when there aren't any losses, you're kind of shooting rubber bands into the sky, thinking you're going to do something with dissecting a win. now, their defense has struggled in the first half in some games in the past, and I've written about that in the past. Again, I think they did that in the first quarter, but they were quick to make adjustments, quicker than normal, actually. Because normally they come out in the third quarter and light the offense up pretty well. So they handled that better this game. But overall, it's been a pleasure to cover them. As media members, we're supposed to be the fly in the wall, the gray, the neutral recorder of what's going on. And as you try to do that, and then you have a man like Coach Fleck that gets up in front of you and, says the things he says and has the energy and the fire and all that, you know, enthusiasm, it's hard not to walk out of a press conference not feeling pretty darn good about yourself and ready to tackle the world, you know. So it's you find some of that kind of rubbing off on yourself too. And he's a heck of a guy, heck of a coach, and it'll be interesting to see what comes next.
PJ Fleck did sign a 6-year contract extension back in 2014. Corey, how long before he heads somewhere else? Because we heard a few rumors about possibly Purdue, and I didn't put too much stock into that. But, you know, he's so dynamic, and when you look at the job he's done at WMU, when you look at how energetic he is and you talk about the speeches he gives, I mean, he's a treat. He truly is. I mean, how long before he makes a move, you think?
Well, that's the big question, and I agree with you. I don't think that Purdue was ever a real consideration. If you can get, similar money in a restructured contract, there's no reason to move to West Lafayette.
right.
I think that, and I've got relatives on West Lafayette. You know, good place to fish, but yeah, I'm not looking for football.
Right, exactly. I'm with you.
But going forward, I thought that, if Oregon had taken a serious look at him, I thought that would probably be an obvious pull. If something happens, in the next couple weeks with, NFL coaching jobs and college coaches going to those, you could see someplace like Colorado or even Minnesota that's been rumored a little bit. Those could be big draws. But here's one key issue: family. His wife, Heather, has a son with her previous husband, who I don't believe, I don't think that that they can move him. I'm not sure on the specifics of it, but I don't think that's an option right now. And so it's kind of one of these things where it's like, what's going to keep him here? But what might keep him here is just keeping the family together. You know, he and his ex-wife, Tracy, sort of a joint custody operation with their three kids. She lives in St. Louis, Missouri, and so they're on a plane quite a bit. That's why I thought maybe Purdue would actually work in essence, because it takes a few hours off that trip. But I think the real reason that he'll probably stay in Kalamazoo for maybe 2 to 4 years
would
be because of the family situation.
And I think that's a point I haven't heard that point brought up multiple really at all when it comes to PJ Fleck's family. And Corey Olson, Western Michigan writer and photographer for MLive.com, bringing up a very valid point there. So only time will tell. Only time will tell. And we all know, Corey, money does talk. So, I mean, if he does get a compelling offer, who knows what could happen, though, right?
Oh, for sure. But, I think an additional thing in there, in addition to the family, is the relationships he's built with Kalamazoo.
Mm-hmm.
This is his first head coaching position. This is his first act at bringing Row the Boat to a community, seeing it grow. I mean, if you visit campus, that saying is everywhere. It's on student shirts. It's on, it's everywhere.
Right.
And it's amazing to try to think that that he wouldn't be there to continue that on. So, just kind of hard to think that that he would leave just 4 years into his time there. But, like you say, I mean, if somebody throws, $3-5 million a year at him, I mean, that's a tough decision to make.
Yeah, very hard to turn that down for sure. Before we get you out of here, Corey, I just want to briefly touch on Corey Davis. Again, I mean, he's he has the record for most reception yards in Division I college football history. I mean, we've seen him make just jaw-dropping catches throughout his entire time there. He's such a hard worker. I love his backstory. Where do you see Corey possibly getting drafted in the NFL, and what type of receiver do you think he can be at the next level?
Well, I think he's got the skill set to, make an immediate impact for some teams in the NFL. Is he going to be competing for a starting role on the Patriots? I don't know. But there are a heck of a lot of NFL teams out there that would love to have a 6'4", 225-pound or 230-pound receiver that has a lot of the physical traits of Calvin Johnson and guys his size that can jump, that's got great hands. He's been on the hands team on the on the special teams, you know, the whole time he's been there. And one big thing, he loves to block. That's something that's been that's grown there at Western in the receivers. They love to block for the running backs. And I tell you what, you want to gain some respect in the NFL from your quarterback and your running backs. They want you out there because you're going to level somebody, and he can do that as well. So, you know, I'm thinking that he could be a first-round pick. You know, would it be middle to late potentially? Some people say that he could be, you know, closer to the top 10. I'd be surprised to see that. But if he doesn't go in the first round, I think it's early second round.
Corey Olson, Western Michigan beat reporter and photographer for MLive.com. Corey, outstanding. Thank you so much for your time this afternoon. You travel safely, all right?
Thanks, Al. Appreciate it.
You got it. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, we have less than 10 minutes left in the show. We'll take your calls. I see a Ray. I see a Mike. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
New parents planning a return to work after a baby's arrival often realize that finding childcare is not easy.
Our first few interviews, we were asking a lot of questions and we're really trying to get a feel for the place. And by place number 10 and 11, our only question was, do you have a spot?
I'm Audie Cornish. The consequences of childcare scarcity later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
All Things Considered today at 4 on 90.5 WKAR.
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We just finished up a great chat with Corey Olson, Western Michigan writer and photographer for MLive.com. Corey was, of course, covering that Cotton Bowl matchup as the Broncos fell to the Wisconsin Badgers. Right now, we've got two callers on lines one and two. We'll start with Mike from Saginaw, who wants to chime in on the WMU loss. Mike, how are you doing? And Happy New Year, my friend.
Happy New Year to you, Mr. L. Martin. And how was vacation?
It was great. It was too long, though. I actually didn't get a chance to go to Florida to see moms like I did on Thanksgiving because she actually worked. They scheduled her to work throughout much of the holiday season. So that was a bit of a bummer, but still got to go back to the D and check out, and see how my cousins and aunties and uncles were doing. So it was a good time, Mike. It was a good time. Thank you.
All right, man. What I want to ask you about Western Michigan is the quarterback. Is his arm strength is good enough for the next level? Because it seems like his passes don't spin. It's just like his passes go side to side.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. Zach has shown flashes, though. I will say that throughout his entire year. You look at his statistics. Yesterday, 16 of 28, 157 yards. That's an average of a little over 5, almost 6, actually, 5.6. He did have that bad INT an overall rating of 46.7. I don't think he's NFL ready. That's just me. But we've seen guys impress in the combine. And I think the combine is a bit overrated. We've seen guys go on, though, from schools, you know, that aren't your top tier, power five, D1, right? Not to say that Western Michigan is a D1 school, but it's not that sexy, right? I mean, I think it's been turned into that this year. We've seen guys come from programs like that and have immense success at the next level. I don't know if Zach Terrell is that guy, though, Mike.
Okay. But I want to ask you two more questions, then I'll let you get to the other callers.
Okay.
What do you think about all the bowl game matchups this year? Penn State USC was great. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good one. A lot of offense in that, but for the majority of it, I mean, first off, going back to my spiel earlier in the hour, Mike, and again, we can chat more about this on tomorrow's show. We're short on time here, but far too many bowl games. 40, exactly. It's all about the mighty dollar. Like, you know, that's our fantastic engineer, Drew Henderson, there as he does the cha-ching. It's what it's all about. But 40 bowl games? Come on, man. That's way too much, Mike.
What you think? Here's my last question. I'll let you get to other callers. You see Northwestern, Minnesota, and Wisconsin, they only won their bowl games. Is it so that the Big Ten is really getting caught up with the talent level because the coaching is there? We got star coaches and back coaches that got can attract big top 5-star recruits and everything. I'll take it off the air, and thanks for letting me speak.
Mike from Saginaw. Mike, appreciate your call, and I'm going to say one word. The Big Ten was a bit overrated this year. And I'll go more in depth on that argument on tomorrow's show. We've got one last caller, Ray from Indiana. We don't have much time, Ray. Ray, Happy New Year. What's on your mind?
Did you get your Christmas card?
I did, and I want to say thank you so much, my friend. I look forward to that every holiday season. Really appreciate it, Ray.
What a great start to the new year. The Bullies got beat in football on almost the last play again, and basketball, too, and then Jim Harbaugh. Remember, my grandma used to wring the chicken's neck and throw it over the fence? That's the way Harbaugh ran out of that stadium when he lost the Orange Bowl. Like his neck was getting wrung.
I tell you what. It was a very compelling game. I must say that. That was fun to watch, though. You must admit, Ray. But yeah,
that's 56 losses. You better humble yourself down there at the University of Michigan. I'm not going away. I'll still send you a Christmas card again next year. God bless.
Ray from Indiana, the one, the only. And we'll go more in depth on that Michigan and Florida State matchup on tomorrow's Current Sports. A completely loaded show. Ray, Mike, really appreciate you guys chiming in. If you happen to tune in late and you still would like to weigh in on anything that we cover here on the show, and I'd love to get your thoughts on that interview with Corey Olson. A great job of giving us sort of an in-depth look at the WMU football year. You can do so by simply going to our social media sites at facebook.com/currentsports, tweeting me at Al Martin, WKAR, or at WKAR_sports, or even shoot me an email. That's right, at almartin@wkar.org. On tomorrow's show, we're going to talk a little bit about the MSU basketball team. Miles Bridges expected to make his return to the hardwood after a 7-game absence. We haven't seen Miles Bridges since that Duke loss late November. Miles expected to play off of the bench, all right? And again, we'll talk a bit about the U of M football and men's basketball team. And also, Brent Musburger sticking his foot totally in his mouth during the Sugar Bowl game yesterday. That and more. We'll see you tomorrow, folks. And as always, I'm sorry. See this? Oh, see this is how it is sometimes. I'm getting word from Drew that we actually have 2 minutes. I don't know why I was stuck on 157. We actually revamped the show, and we've actually taken it back just a minute. I thought it was 3 minutes there. So but just to give you a preview, though, of what's happened to Brent Musburger. Because, you know, again, the Sugar Bowl was not that intriguing to me. I watched a bit of it, but at the end of the day, again, I started getting sleepy. Maybe I'm getting old. Who knows? But Oklahoma won the Sugar Bowl, actually, on Monday night against Auburn. The final of that one was 35-19. It was close at halftime, 14-13 lead. But then you saw Oklahoma just really take the reins and dominate the second half of that game. But during the broadcast, Brent Musburger made a comment concerning a certain player on a certain team. That player, whose name I'll save for tomorrow's discussion, he was involved in a domestic abuse case. And Brent Musburger made a comment that seemed to sort of push that situation under the rug. And it almost looked like Brent Musburger, it sounded like Brent Musburger was sort of taking up for that athlete. So he made the comment, and it blew up the social media realm. So much so that you could clearly hear, well, you could clearly sort of allude to a producer in the back saying, you know what, Brent, you're getting a lot of heat for this. Can you backtrack? Brent Musburger decided not to backtrack, and I think that was the wrong idea. We'll talk about that and so much more on tomorrow's Current Sports. We hope you have a great Tuesday again. Happy New Year, the first Current Sports of 2017. We'll be back at it. As always, take care. And again, be easy, people.
Risky business then.
Have a good time last night.
I had a great time.
And risky business now.
The old world order is done. The United States does not want to provide leadership on global security. It wants to shed the burdens.
Ian Bremmer's top risks of 2017. Good times? Don't bet on it. Next time on The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International. The Takeaway, today at 3 on AM 870 WKAR.
We expect a high in the low 40s with cloudy skies, and we could get some more rain today. There is a chance of snow developing overnight with gusty winds and cloudy skies and a low in the low 20s. Tomorrow, a high of just 24, windy and turning mostly cloudy Wednesday. Join Mark Bayshore for All Things Considered starting at 4 on 90.5 WKAR.
You are listening to AM 870 WKAR East Lansing.